I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition. Time to go on the money with Chris DiSimeo. He's on the phone to Singapore to talk with investing guru Jim Rogers.
Another raucous week on Wall Street. Markets gyrating throughout the shortened session, closed for President's Day, of course, and then concerns about worldwide growth rates, especially some less than stellar numbers coming out of the Far East. China's growth rate reported to be a little slower than expected. Also, some hiccups in the earnings department caused a little bit of turbulence on Wall Street, but by yesterday morning, they were back on track. Lots of news to talk about, and there's a fabulous book out, and I will read the back part of it to you. Quotes from people who have read this book. Paul Krugman says, "Jim Rogers makes my head hurt," in the New York Times. And then Ben Stein from the New York Times also says, quote, "There are almost no investment geniuses. The only ones I know of are Warren Buffett, John Bogle, and Jim Rogers." Jim Rogers, thanks so much for taking part of your weekend to be with us from all the way in Singapore.
Oh, Chris, I'm delighted to be here. It's my pleasure.
Jim, your latest book is called Street Smarts. It's just hitting the bookshelves right now. You wrote Hot Commodities. You are in the Guinness Book of World Records at least two, maybe three times, most notably for your ride around the world on a motorcycle and then your three-year tour around the world in your Mercedes that resulted in both investment banker and adventure capitalist. So you've seen a lot of stuff. In your book, you talk about commodities quite a bit and governments and markets and how they work. And early on in the book, you talk about what happens when interest rates are, or any commodity, whether it's a bond or an interest rate, are kept artificially low. And you spend a good deal of time talking about gold under, between FDR and Richard Nixon. What are the similarities now between the artificial gold prices that prevailed for 35 years and the artificially low interest rates that prevail now?
Oh, Chris, what a brilliant question. Well, as you know, gold prices were kept down for nearly 40 years, and when they finally were set free, they erupted. They went up something like 30 or 40, about 30 times because, you know, they'd been artificially suppressed. Now, interest rates are being very, very low in the U.S. artificially, and I'm afraid, Chris, when they finally break free, you and I and everybody listening to this show is going to suffer. I find it very outrageous what they're doing in Washington, especially because, as you know, Chris, many people save their money. They didn't go and buy four or five houses with no down payment, no income or anything else. And now those people who did it right are being destroyed because interest rates are zero. Think of all the people who save their money to retire, and they're now getting nothing to show for it. Well, when this all goes back to normal, I'm afraid it's going to be a big explosion.
And holders of 10-year and 20-year and 30-year Treasury bonds will not be happy with the outcome?
It's going to be miserable. If I told you how this will go eventually over the next 10 or 20 years, you'd hang up. You'd think this guy has no credibility at all. But they're going to explode because the longer Washington holds these interest rates down, the worse it's going to be in the end. You probably remember, Chris, the high all-time high on interest rates in America was about 22%, 21-22% for short-term interest rates, and the high on the bonds was over 15%. I'm afraid we might see those days again sometime.
And, of course, that was a time, Jim, when commodities in general, gold in particular, but commodities in general rose quite a bit. You still are very bullish on agricultural commodities, are you not?
Well, yes, largely because prices have been down so long. You know, if you look at agricultural prices, they've been so low that the world has been consuming more than it's produced for the last 10 years now, Chris. That means inventories are near historic lows, very, very low. And we're running out of farmers because nobody wants to go into the fields because nobody's been able to make a whole lot of money. The average age of a farmer in America is 58 years old. The statistics are terrifying all over the world, so prices have to go much higher to attract labor, capital, and management.
In your travels around the world, Jim, you talked about going through a country formerly known as Burma, and you described it in your new book, Street Smarts, that the country now known as Myanmar, as perhaps the next China. What are some of the opportunities for investors in Myanmar, and what are some of the obstacles?
Well, you know, in 1962, Burma was the richest country in Asia. The richest country in Asia in 62 was Burma. Then they closed off. They threw out the foreigners. They closed the country down. And 50 years later, it became the poorest. Myanmar was the poorest country in Asia. But now they've realized, oh, my gosh, this was a mistake. They're opening up the country. It's got 70 million people. Its neighbors are India and China. It's got vast natural resources. So you can see the kind of opportunities. I've been there a couple of times, Chris, and I will tell you, they don't have toothpaste. They don't have electricity. They don't have telephones. They don't have bank accounts. Places are a disaster. But therein lies wonderful opportunities for anybody who's willing to take the time and effort.
Yeah, you even had a travel agent tell you that the trip you had taken 10 years earlier was impossible.
Yes, and then I showed him that we had done it and proved it to him, and he was pretty awed. Yeah, it was a wonderful time. It was that trip around the world, because it was a very, very exciting time for me. Much of my life has been exciting, both going for good things and bad things, but that was especially exciting.
Yeah, I'm sure one of the things, Jim, that will be in the news, and we're visiting with Jim Rogers, a renowned investor who retired at the advanced age of 37 with a couple shekels in his pocket from the Quantum Fund, which he ran with George Soros, and has been around the world several times. His latest book, Street Smarts, now available online and at your favorite bookseller. Jim, in your book, you talk about North Korea, which hit the news headlines yesterday by announcing that they were going to be not discouraging tourism and not clamping down on tourists. And it was quite a remarkable thing. I had just finished reading that part of the book where you predicted this kind of thing would happen when the headline hit. So either your influence in the media is much, much more broad, much more powerful than anyone knows, or you were really onto something. What is happening in North Korea? What are the opportunities there? You're talking about bridges to China. You're talking about trade zones. What are their own views?
Well, Chris, it's right there on the Chinese border, and the Chinese are building bridges. They're pouring huge amounts of money into North Korea. North Korea is getting exposed to the rest of the world. And, they've got a new leader, a young man, 30 years old, who was educated in Switzerland. So he knows the difference in the West and North Korea. He knows that his grandfather maybe was a smart guy, and his father maybe was a smart guy, but he knows that North Korea is far, far behind the rest of the world. So he's, in my view, my judgment, the reason I wrote about it is because I think he's going to open up the country. He knows what's happened in China and Russia and everywhere else. My wife and I went to North Korea not too long ago, and we could see the great possibilities. And it looks like it now may be coming true.
Yeah, you had some trouble getting a haircut there, did you not?
It's interesting. We had this guy with us at all times. He was supposed to be our guide. He was really our keeper, our mind. And one point I was walking by a barbershop, and I said, I need a haircut. I need to go in and get it. And I almost froze. He said, you can't get a haircut there. You have to go back to your hotel, and you can get a haircut in your hotel. They were strict on us, but I thought I could see the possibilities that things were going to change, and lo and behold, I heard just like you that yesterday they finally started to announce it officially.
Yeah, so you describe a united Korea with the resources and the natural resources in the north and all the technology and financial infrastructure in the south. Who are the winners and who are the losers if North and South Korea reunite?
And North Korea also has a lot of disciplined, cheap, educated labor, massive amounts. So you'll have a country then, Chris, 75 million people, cheap labor, lots of natural resources in the north, lots of capital and management in the south, right on the Chinese border. Well, the people are going to suffer. Japan will suffer because Japan is now a high-cost place to do business. They're going to have a lot of problems competing with the new Korea, if you will. Korea will obviously benefit enormously. The main loser would be Japan. The main winner would be Korea. But the other main winner will be America, because we don't have to occupy South Korea anymore. We're spending staggering amounts of money with all those troops there. So we will be able to pull out of Korea, save ourselves a lot of money, and have to worry about one less war.
Well, it's an interesting development. And, Jim, we could do an hour-long show on every chapter in your latest book, Street Smarts. I want to thank you so much for taking time away from what is the middle of the night there in Singapore to be with us here in Cincinnati. Thank you so much, Jim Rogers.
Thank you, Chris. Let's do it again sometime.
Yeah, I'd love to do it. And for Cincinnati Edition, I'm Chris DeSimio on The Money.